Women's Fellowship, the guest speaker, and all the ladies that will be attending. I pray this is just a wonderful night for them. And Lord, if you see fit, I pray that you would hold the rain and just let everything be done safely on the highways. And Father, just bless this evening. And Lord, but more than that, bless us right now. We love you, Lord. We just want your word to penetrate our hearts. We continue to pray, Lord, for James to touch his body and for Eleanor. And Lord, we pray over this nation. The mark of Cain, oh God, is all over this nation. Death is everywhere. We just pray, Father, please bring revival to your people and to this nation. And Lord, bless your word in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles as we continue our study, the in-depth study in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 6 this morning, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 in just a moment. These verses, the 14 verses that we're going to cover this morning, they are the first 10 are heavy, heavy, heavy in doctrine. So I'm asking you, Christian, do not shut down. We need to know doctrine. Amen. So and this is when you need to really listen and when you need to take notes, because beginning in chapter 6, all the way through chapter 8, well, to the end of chapter 8, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of sanctification, that process by which the Holy Spirit, working in the life of the believer, transforms that person from glory to glory to glory to glory into the same image of our Lord and Savior. Amen? We call that Christ-likeness. In other words, we're changed. Have you noticed that the moment that you, when the first day that you were saved, you asked Christ to come into your heart, did you become the Apostle Paul by that afternoon? No. Someone just said, I didn't. No, and I know he didn't. No, I'm just joking. But the fact of the matter is that this is very important. Justification that we've been studying over and over and over, that incredible doctrine of justification, whereby when a person, a sinner, comes to the Lord and says, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, they confess that with their mouth, they really mean it in their heart, God promised to save that individual. So, and the moment that happens, justification, they are justified, declared legally righteous, that is their position in the eyes of God, their sins are no more because Christ imputed to us, or to that sinner, the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Amen? We know that. We have that in our hearts. But there is a difference between justification and sanctification. Remember that justification is something that happens to us. It's a one-time event. It's never to be repeated. There on that beach that day when I received the Lord all those years ago and I asked Christ to be the Lord of my life, I still had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I had a cold beer in my hand. I was watching the sun come up on Jack's Beach. This guy led me to the Lord, man. And at that very moment, even though I had a cigarettes in my pocket and a cold beer sitting in the sand, loved one, listen, did God save me? Yes. Did God justify me? Boy, at that very moment, he declared me as his own son. And there I was still messed up. I had never been to church. I didn't know anything about justification, sanctification, propitiation. I didn't know what it meant to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian. I had no idea. But at that very moment, God did something to me. So justification is something that happens to us. And I didn't know it, but here's what justification does. Justification delivers the believing sinner, now becoming a Christian, from the penalty of sin. Say that, the penalty of sin. That means Jesus paid for my sins. He took them on the cross. I'm not going to be judged past, present. You understand, it's over. Thank God for that. I can stand before God in that spotless, perfect record of our Lord. Sanctification, though, is not something that happens to us. Sanctification is something that happens in us. It is a process. Do you follow me? Boy, it's so important to know that. In other words, it's where we're delivered or being delivered. We are delivered and also being delivered from the power of sin. In other words, those cigarettes didn't stay in my pocket forever. Maybe 10 years. No, I... No, in other words, I didn't ever think anything. I could do what I wanted to do. I was lost in Adam. I didn't care. I mean, I was all right. I was a good man, I thought. But after I was justified, then sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, started working on me. Do you know how many times I threw those cigarettes away? About the amount of time that you threw yours away. You know? And then one day, finally, not because of my own power, because of the power of another, the Holy Spirit, in that process of sanctification, walking, becoming in holiness, I was changed. You understand? I got rid of it. Now, I didn't do it, though. He got rid of it for me. So sanctification there, again, justification is imputation, where we his record, Jesus' record, becomes ours. But sanctification is then transformation. Are you following me? Now, there are those that teach, and this is really important, that sanctification, the moment that you're born again, you are sanctified. Absolutely. To be sanctified means that you have been set apart for God. You are now a saint of the Lord. You were an ain't, now you're a saint. You got it? Okay, so when that occurs, now listen, when that occurs, then sanctification becomes our transformation. Now, so we're declared holy by God, but something else happens. Let me just give this to you just for a moment there. See, justification and sanctification can never, never, never be separated. Now, let me give you two verses. The first one, Hebrews 10:10. It says that God will that we have been, that's a past act now, we have been, here's this word, sanctified, set apart, declared holy by God, sanctified, and tells us how, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So it is certain. It's a fact. We have been sanctified. Now listen, that is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification says this. If the moment there I was on the beach, still had cigarettes in my pocket, a beard down there, and listen, here's the deal. I was declared right then. I didn't know it. I was declared in a position with God. In other words, my position became one of permanently being made, set apart, or holy unto God. Why? I was sanctified and declared holy forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, that is our position if we're a true believer. Now, but there's something else. Let me give you another scripture now. It says in Hebrews 10:14, by one man's offering, which is Christ, Jesus, or he has perfected forever, that process. Those, meaning believers, here it comes, who are being, present tense, who are being sanctified. So with all that being said, what are we doing? We're sanctified. In other words, we're declared holy, set apart to God. We're sanctified him. But now we're walking out our position in Christ. Does that make sense? We're going through this life and we're being changed now. Why? That process from glory to glory to glory. Now, I said all of that because this morning we want to talk about being dead to sin and alive to God, okay? Now, look with me at Romans 6:1. Have you got the sanctification, justification down, right? Okay. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we at Calvary Chapel continue in sin that grace may abound? Now that word sin for the next 11 verses, I want you to look at it, if you will, meaning our sin nature, that old Adam, if you will, whatever you want, the old man. So what shall we say? I mean, can we just keep on sinning because God, we're under grace now? In other words, as long as we believe, can you do as you please? No, we're born from above. We're changed. The Holy Spirit now lives in our heart. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Can a person receive new life and continue to live the old life? No, you can't do it. Can a person, you know, is there such a thing as divine life without divine living? No. Look at verse 2. What did Paul say about all that? He said, you got to be kidding me. That word, certainly not. In the Greek, is like he horror, if you will. God forbid, may this never, ever happen. You know, he says, no, certainly not. He says, how is it possible, or how shall we who died to what? Now, remember that. Let's look at it as our old sinful nature, okay? Died to sin, that denotes a past act, something that happened long ago, but it has taken place. Now, live any longer in it, meaning in sin. Now, when I look at this right here, we got to really grasp this, because it says, we who died. That's a description of a Christian. No, I died 2,000 years ago on the cross with Christ. Amen? Just like you did. So we died. And I'll tell you something about someone who's passed away or they're dead. They're unresponsive. Have you ever noticed that? They don't talk to you. They don't do anything. Well, the Bible told us right here that we who died, this death, if it's real, if it's truly permanent, guess what? That means that a believer, it doesn't mean that a believer can't sin. It means that a believer will not live an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of sin like those in the world. Are you following me? See, you're changed or you're not changed. And so here he says, no, that can't happen. See, sin didn't die. Did you notice that? It says that we died. And here's the problem. But we never died to sin. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm sorry, we're never dead to sin. The problem is that we still have a sin nature. Something happened when I asked Christ and you asked Christ to come into your heart. There was, like it says in Colossians, there was a surgery that took place, a divine surgery, and somehow the new man that I am inside, God, if you will, took a knife, a surgical instrument, and somehow severed the old Billy, let's call him Bad Billy, the Bad Billy, and here's the good Billy or whatever, okay, the old man and the new man. Something, he did that. However, he's still with us. He's still here right now. He wants to rule. He wants to reign. Sin wants to always rule, amen? Now, so we look at this and say, but listen, we still have a sin nature. Now, it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, that word is singular, meaning sin nature, okay? If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're in trouble. See, there's no such thing as sinless perfection. If you ever hear anyone tell you that's a false doctrine, okay? But here's what you need to do. Just if they say, I haven't sinned all year, just go and talk to their spouse, okay? They'll clear that up for you in a moment. No, we've died to sin and so forth. So sin is not the habitual lifestyle of any believer. And when we do sin, we're not, and even if, say, you continue in a sin, you're not happy with it. It will never make you happy. It makes you miserable. You know, I remember many years ago, there was a couple sitting right here in this area. God, you know, I never get to really look in people's eyes. Hello, how are you? It's so good to see you this morning, you know? And so, I mean, these guys were far out, man. I mean, and I say that in a tender way. And they were a young couple. And so at the end of the service, they raised their hand to receive Christ. And we prayed with them. They received the Lord. And then they left. Well, about 2 weeks later, you know, they came to church and so forth, and they came down at the altar after service. They said, Bill, can we talk to you? I said, sure, what is it? He said, man, listen, there's something wrong. I said, well, what? Well, we're living together, and we don't like it anymore. I'm going, what? You're not married? No. And he said, we feel guilty. We know this is not right. And these are baby Christians. Are you listening to me? They didn't know anything about God. And the reason that they did that was because, see, they were born again. They knew in their heart there was something wrong. So I told them, I said, well, you guys, why don't you get married? Okay. And so that's all I said. And the next Wednesday they were here. And right at the end of the service, some of you will remember, they walked in and said, and they hand me a marriage license. I said, what is that? And they said, it's a marriage license. I said, you going to get married? Well, you told us to get married. We don't want to live like this any longer. You know, so if y'all remember, I married him. I said, everybody, sit back down. I married him right here. You know what I mean? Yeah. See, that's what happens. That's what happens. You know, you're justified. Jesus comes to live in your heart, and you go, wait a minute. I know that's wrong now. It didn't bother me before. It didn't bother me to live with her. But now it bothers me. I want to be right with God. See, that's God working in us. That's the process of that sanctification. Amen? Now look here at that again. It says, certainly not. I'm sorry. Yeah, there it is. It says, how shall it be that we who died to sin, we died to sin, live any longer in it? It doesn't say for us to die for sin. It says we've already died for sin. Do you understand? See, you can't do it in your own power. I mean, there's a lot of ways to die today, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, listen, you can trip over your Bible, you know, in your house because, you know, you just study so much and you lay it down, you trip and hit your head, or you can pray yourself to death. That must have been the Holy Spirit. No, but the one thing that you cannot do, that you cannot crucify yourself. I mean, you might get one hand up there, but how are you going to get the other up there? Do you understand? No, you cannot do that. We have died. When it says this is our position, when we've died to sin, our sin nature, our sinning period, that means we've done so in Christ, the one who has paid for our sins, and that is our position. Amen? That is a past reality. It is a true fact that occurred. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen? The same thing goes for you and me. Now watch this in verse 3. Or do you not know, Paul says, that as many of us as were baptized, that word is baptizo, it means to be immersed into Christ Jesus, or into, meaning to be made one with, to go into union with. It says, we're baptized into his what? Into his death. When he died, we died. When Jesus was placed in the tomb, we were placed in the tomb. When Jesus rose, we rose. When Jesus ascended, we ascended. Amen? Amen. Did you know the Bible says that when Jesus was seated at the right hand of God, Ephesians 2:6 says, we were seated with him. That is our position. That is the position of a true born-again believer. We're already there as far as God is concerned. We're just working our way to get there, okay? Now, with all that being said, now watch this. They were baptized into his death. It's very important. I know that we use the scripture a lot for baptism. I don't have a problem, water baptism, and I don't have a problem with that at all. However, Paul is not saying here that immersion or water baptism, at the moment you do that, you become in union with the Lord. That can't be. The only way to be in union with the Lord is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen? If we believe that water baptism is going to save us now, we have to go back and erase everything that we've learned, because we've learned that salvation is by faith and by faith alone. No human merit involved. Not water baptism, not keeping law, not human merit, nothing. So what Paul is doing here, he is using it like an analogy to teach a spiritual truth. But this word, baptism, is so important. The word, again, in the Greek is baptizo. And let me just read what that word means in the Greek and define it. Baptizo means you have been placed into a new environment or into a new union with something else so as to alter, to change, to alter its condition or its relationship from the previous environment, the old environment, or condition. Now, let me read from my Greek study Bible. It's baptizo, immersion, baptize. Baptizo is not to be confused with babto, another Greek word, okay? The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander. It says, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles and is helpful because it uses both words. Nicander says, in order to make a pickle, everyone say pickle. Okay, in order to make a pickle, if you want to make a pickle, listen up. The vegetable should be first babto, or dipped into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. Now, but listen, the first, babto, the first one is only temporary. The second act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change forever. Are you listening? Now listen, if you take a cucumber and you do what that says, what do you get? You get a pickle. Do you understand? You are going to be a pickle forever, and you're never going to be a cucumber again. Do you understand? That's what that means. In other words, loved one, you have been saved. You have been changed. That's your position. Not only your relationship to sin has changed permanently, you're dead to it, but our old nature? No, no, no. Our condition has changed. Old bad Billy? No, 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 no. I'm the new Billy. I'm the new man. I'm changed completely. I have a new divine nature. I've been changed from Adam. I'm now over to Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm no longer living in death. I am now living in life. My whole environment, my whole way of life, everything has changed. Are you following me? Listen, I'll never, ever be bad Billy again. But does he sometimes mess up? Of course he does. But that's not who I am. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God, a daughter of God. Amen? We have been permanently changed. It says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That word, again, means baptized into the new union. Baptized meaning being placed in the body of Christ. That's the new birth. There are many baptisms in the New Testament, loved one, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not placed into the body of Christ, I don't care. The other baptisms mean nothing. You have to be born from above. Now, look at this in 6:4. Therefore, we were, that's past tense, we were buried with. When he was buried, we were entombed with him, our Lord. We were buried with him, how? Through baptism into death, meaning into Christ's death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory or the power of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Jesus' death became our death. You know, I didn't know on that beach that happened to me like that. I didn't know that Jesus took us all to the cross, amen? But the only way to have that benefit is to believe in that. That's the only way you can receive that wonderful grace, that forgiveness of sins and so forth. So our old sin nature, I died 2,000 years ago, didn't even know it. My old bad Billy, he was crucified. Now, when Jesus arose, did we rise with him? Yes, not physically. We haven't received our new bodies yet, but we arose spiritually. Amen? Very important. We arose spiritually. That's why we don't live in a habitual sin. It's because we died, we were buried, and now we've been raised to a newness. Look at that, a newness of life to walk in. It's something that we need to do, meaning a life that is no longer directed and dominated by sin or the sin nature. We're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become brand new in our life. Now watch this, verse 5. For if, or literally, it is a fact that we have been united together, or literally planted together, in the likeness of his death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So as a result of all that, watch, knowing this, that our old man was what? Let's add one more word to the text. Crucify, and I'm not trying to change God's word, but just to make it easier to understand, crucified together with him. We were crucified there on the cross, our old man. That the body of sin, here it is right now, that body of sin, the command post to carry out sin's orders. Let's look at it that way. The old man, it says that sin, the body of sin, might be done away with, not annihilated, but rendered inoperative, put out of business, that we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. The word old there means worn out. It means it's so worn out that it needs to be discarded. Listen, my old man, even though I was very young, a young man when I came to Christ, but the old man is, what did God say about it? Remember in Romans 3, that we're unprofitable? That word means useless. It means it's a description in the Greek of a fruit that is rancid and rotten, only good to be thrown away. That we were ungodly, that we were sinners, that we were without hope, that we were without strength, that we were enemies of God. All that I was, all that you were, that old man, whatever it was meant to be in Adam, it died. It was crucified with Christ. Amen. That is so important that we trust and believe that in our hearts. Now, legalists, if you ever run into a legalist, I've never met a happy legalist. I don't even think they're allowed to smile. And but they'll tell you that no, that's not the way it works. That, you know, you've got to get up there and you've got to crucify yourself. I said, well, wait a minute. You need to go back and read this right here, because the Bible says our old man was crucified at the cross and we died with him. Amen. Now, that means all I have to do is take God's word and say, I believe it. I believe it, that my old man truly was crucified, that he died. And that body of sin, now listen, that's where we get into trouble, that body of sin, it says, might be done away with. Now listen, this is a fact. It certainly is not a feeling, but it's a fact that must be believed in our heart, because our sin nature, the old Billy, the old man, it wasn't eradicated. It's still there. It still wants to rule. It still wants to tell me what to do. It still wants to say, you need to be angry at what that person just said. You need to be envious of that person, or you need to lust after that person. You understand? The old man, he's always trying to get back on the throne of my heart. But there's someone else there. He's the Lord. You know, I've been bought at a price. You've been bought at a price, and so forth. So, but our sin nature wasn't eradicated, loved one, and it will never be removed in this life. It's right here. That's why God says, listen, you have to believe that the body of sin, the command post, God says, I've put it out of business, no matter what your feelings tell you. Boy, that is vital. So you see, we must walk in faith. We must believe what God says. My old nature, it was definitely crucified with our Lord. And that means if he died. And it also means this: if he died, he has no rights. I don't have to obey him ever, ever again. And I have power now, the Holy Spirit, to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to turn away from that, because I know in my heart, number one, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Number two, it makes me sad. And number three, Jesus paid for it. I don't have to do that anymore. The problem is that Christians, you know, they're dead, but they don't believe that they're dead. You know, I told the first service, I said, you know, when I was a little boy, my grandmother raised me there on the farm. And on Sundays, she always cooked a chicken. And she was a great cook. That was back when they really did put the pies out on the ledge of the window to cool. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? That really was. That really, because I did. I went out there. I'll never forget it. My grandmother had made a lemon pie, and it was still hot. And I got a tablespoon while it was out there cooling, and I ate the whole thing. It's the truth. That's the old man. I have never eaten lemon pie again in my life. Never. I thought it was going to die. I was so sick. But that's not what I wanted to tell you. Grandma would go out there in the yard. We had hundreds of chicken. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful time for me. And she would always find that, I guess, the one that she wanted to cook. And so you know what she did, right? She went out there and she wringed that head off. She even had that look when she did it. No. And what did that chicken do after the head was removed? It started running. First time that happened to me, I went, ah! I'm serious. I was, man, you talk, and even the she had the head in her hand, and the beak was going. And I'm in counseling still today. It was horrible. So you say, well, Bill, why did you tell me that story? I don't know why. Because it's dead. Do you understand? And you've got to believe that you're dead. You know, that's what it's all about. Listen, look at verse 7 now. Let me get out of this. For he who has died has been freed from what? From sin. Not freed to sin, but freed from sin, cleared from sin. But this word freed, man, that's an incredible word there. See, the word literally means, it's a legal word. It's the same word when we say we've been justified. So in other words, here, sin is no longer justified, or sin no longer has a legal right to force its mastery over you, over me. Why? We died with Christ. Amen? We're the new man now. We're justified from sin. We're delivered also from sin. all of its former rights. Look at verse 8. And now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Not just in heaven, but now he's here with us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We live with him even this moment. And he says, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies many times more. That's very important. This is a doctrinal statement now. Very important. He dies no more. Why? Well, death no longer has dominion over Jesus. Why? Well, my goodness, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He has the keys to hell and death. Amen? He's the one who conquered death for us. But that word dies no more is very important because there are those who believe that Jesus dies over and over. And of course, the Bible says, no, he died once. Amen. That's it. That was it. No, you see, and we're Protestants, if you will, meaning that we came out of the Protestant movement, Martin Luther and all that. So, if you'll notice that the Protestants on, say, the cross that they wear, if you wear a cross, if you're a Protestant, you'll notice that Jesus is not on the cross. But then there are other denominations that they have a cross, and who's on the cross? Jesus is there. Well, the reason that he's there is that we believe that with all of our heart that you don't have to crucify the Lord again. He doesn't die in the Mass every time. Do you understand? No, no, no. Jesus, our Lord, he is alive. He's seated at the right hand of God. He liveth forevermore. He's already paid for the sins of the world. He doesn't have to keep paying for the sin over and over and over. It was a one-time thing. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. Now, look at verse 10 with me now. We don't ever have to go back to Adam, all right? That's over. Watch this now. For the death that he died, meaning Jesus, he died to sin, even though he had never committed any sin. He's a sinless, spotless son of God. He died to sin once for all. That means that his death never, ever needs to be repeated. But the life that Jesus lives, he lives to God. So listen, Jesus not only died for our sins, okay? It says that he died to sin, meaning that he not only did he pay the penalty of our sin, but he also broke the power of sin over our life. How? Sanctification. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, changing us from glory to glory to glory. Now, look at this in verse 11. Very important. The cheese has slid off the cracker this morning, but it keeps coming back to me, okay? Verses 1 through 10 now, a lot of facts, heavy doctrine. Now, that is our positional sanctification. That's what happened. Now we're going to go into the process of our sanctification, if you will, in verse 11. But here's the deal now, loved one. We're talking about being dead to sin, alive unto God. When we look at these facts that we just understand, do you believe them? See, that's the key. Really believe them, not just up here, but believe them in your heart. See, because if you don't, you will not have a full, true experience of verses 1 through 10. You'll say, it's not working, Bill. It's just not working. See, you have to believe by faith to experience this. You're in a war. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Bad Billy, he wants to, every day I have to tell him to leave me alone. He's relentless. He's never going to leave me alone until I go home to be with the Lord. One of the punishment that they did back during the Middle Ages, say when a person murdered another person, you know what they would do? They would tie the corpse of that person upon the person who murdered him and leave him there. That was his punishment. Well, you know what? We're dragging around our old man. Does that make sense? That corpse. He's dead, but he thinks he's alive. He thinks he has rights, but he has absolutely no rights because he died. He was crucified. I'm the new man, and I have all the rights because I'm in Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, with all that being said now, to experience this, look at verse 11. Likewise, you, here we come into play, you also reckon. That's an accounting term in the Greek. You reckon yourselves to be what? Dead to sin. And alive to God, but only one way. Watch this now. Alive to God, here's our position, in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word reckon, again, it's like justify, an accounting term, it means literally to carefully add up. Add everything up now that you know, all these divine truths, and act upon what you know. You have to reckon it so in your heart. You see, the first five chapters, we weren't commanded to do anything. Now we're commanded. God says, I want you to reckon this into your heart. I want you to count it as a fact. You're dead to sin. Believe it in your heart. In other words, act upon this truth. Act upon this divine fact, if you will. You are alive to God. You're not going to be alive to God. You are alive to God right now. And it doesn't say to feel as if you are dead to sin. Didn't say to feel that. We have to walk in faith, don't we? Verse 11 does not say to reckon sin dead. It says, reckon ourselves dead to it. Now, if sin is absent from me, there would be no need to reckon it. Amen? But it is present with me. So to reckon ourselves dead to sin while in our mind we are conscious of sin, loved one, listen to me, that takes faith. Yes. It takes faith because we're all bombarded every day, every moment with the world, the flesh, the devil, attack after attack. You know, and then the old man wants to, like I said, he wants to come up and be angry and so forth or whatever. We have to say, you're dead. You don't have a right to be angry, you moron. You understand? And we need to tell him that and so forth. We have to do that, and we do that by faith. Becoming a Christian, you know, number one, when you become a Christian, doesn't mean all your problems cease. And number two, it certainly doesn't mean that you're now free from the ability to sin. No, you can sin. And not only that, you're not free from the influence of sin. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how well you know your Bible. And I pray you pray and also know your Bible well. Your sin is still present here. And it is a war. It's something that we have to fight. You see, even though our old man was crucified with Christ, isn't it amazing? We're still commanded to put him off, to strip away his power. Sometimes I talk to my old man. I say, I know you, but I don't do that anymore. Right. And I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. That's just the way it is. You're the old man. You don't have any rights. You don't have any say-so over me. Yeah. Only God has say-so over me now. I'm a new man. I like that. Amen. Now, if we're commanded to put off the old man, that means he still exists. If we're commanded to put off the old man, that means we can, because God's commandments are always our enablements. It says in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, the old Billy. In other words, all that we were in Adam. And it says, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Here it comes. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's getting into the word of God, man, and believe it. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. Matter of fact, you know, it says in Colossians, and I just want to read this to you. You know, it tells us in Colossians, you know, it tells us if we have been raised with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for your life, you died and your life is hidden there with God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Now listen, therefore put to death. Put to death. Now you say, Bill, you already said he was dead. Well, it means to deprive of power. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, covetousness, evil desire, because these things are the wrath of God comes upon you. He says, in which you yourselves once walked, but now in yourselves you put off all of these. Here, anger, wrath, malice, and he goes on and on. He tells us why. He says, do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Loved one, listen. The old man is a liar. he comes up and bothers me every day. And then the devil comes up and accuses me on top of that. And you experience the exact same thing. We are certainly in a war, you know, and so forth. And that's why it says right there in verse 12, do not let sin reign. Don't let it, in other words, don't let sin exercise any kingly power, any sovereign power in your what? Mortal body, your mortal body, your physical body. Why? Well, that you should not obey its lust. Now, this is when our will comes into play here. We're in a war. I'm in a war with myself, my old man. Think about it. We're not to let sin reign because sin has no right to reign. Our old man has no right to reign at all. We don't owe sin anything. We don't owe the old man anything. We're dead to it, justified from it, and we are walking in a newness of life. Amen? That's that sanctification. Now, the reason our body is this body, it hasn't been redeemed. There's the problem, right? No, it's our body. Our spirit is different. Listen, it's whereby we, your spirit bears witness with his spirit, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We're sons, we're daughters of God. Amen? So we're talking about our body, this body that we're living in that's not redeemed. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:23, we are groaning in this body. We're eagerly waiting with all of our hearts for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's the day that we get a brand new body. Amen? Oh, think about it. When you have that new body, that's when you're saved from the presence of sin. See, we're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, but then that's when we're saved from the presence of sin forever and ever and ever. We're in that new body. You couldn't think anything bad if you wanted to. Do you understand? You won't have a bad Monday. You won't have a bad thought. You won't have one judgment. Listen, we've never had that. But boy, in that day, oh, how glorious that's going to be. Now watch it, verse 13. And do not, he's telling us something again, do not yield. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present, or literally yield yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your physical body, it's really, in a way, you could say it's neutral. Here we are. And you know what? We're born again, but either we're going to be controlled by our old man or the new man. Amen? And the old man always wants to control, and we're the temple now of the Holy Spirit, and I promise you, he wants control. But we don't want to present ourselves as instruments to sin. That's why I get upset. And I'm being honest with you. I don't mean I'm mad at people, but I get upset when people sow discord. Not people. When Christians, our so-called Christians, sow discord. That drives me crazy. Matter of fact, it drives God crazy because you know what God said? He said that that's an abomination to him. He hates those who sow discord. Okay, well, is that the new man or the old man? That's the old man. You see, you're yielding. Here's you're yielding your body, your instruments. That means your ears, your eyes, your hands. We're supposed to be presenting our body as a living sacrifice to live for the Lord. So what happens? Paul said, "Listen, don't do that. Don't obey sin. You know, don't use your lips to lie. Don't use your lips to gossip. That's the old. That's bad Billy. Or bad John or bad Susie. Do you understand?" No, we're to use our lips now what to bless, not to curse. We're not to use our hands to steal, but to help. We're not to use our eyes to lust. No, that loved one, that's all over with. God says, listen, man, you're the new man. The old man's dead. You're also dead to sin because he was in love with sin. He couldn't help it. No, this is our job now. We are responsible. What does that mean? You say, well, Bill, how in the world do I stop doing certain things? Well, you know what? It's like throwing the cigarettes out, you know, remember? You know, I couldn't quit. I couldn't. Well, matter of fact, the truth of the matter is the Lord took that away from me and I went back and started smoking again. Isn't that horrible? I don't even know why I did it. And then I couldn't quit. It was horrible. And I'll never forget that night. I went in there. I mean, I tried and tried and tried in my own strength. I tried. I mean, I was doing, this is, of course, you can imagine, this is way back, you know, when I was a kid, young person, not yesterday. I just chew now, so it's easier. And I'll never forget, I put the cigarettes in the trash can, and I was in the kitchen, and I got down on my knees, and I said, I can't quit. I said, you've got to do this for me, because I can't do it. I don't want it in my life. I know. I said, forgive me. I went back to it. And immediately, I never had a desire. I never had a withdrawal. I never touched another cigarette in a day in my life. Amen. Now, how did I do that? How do you get rid of anything in your life? You can't do it. So how are we going to do it in this process we call sanctification? Turn your Bibles, it's just one page, to chapter 8 of Romans. Now watch this, and I'll get ahead of myself just a little bit. And look at verse 12 with me. Chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? I don't owe my flesh, I don't owe my old man a dime, nothing, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But here it comes. If by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you what? Put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Listen, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world or in my flesh. Amen. I go, Lord, how am I going to kill this? How am I going to quit doing that? How am I going to quit being angry? I have a spirit of anger, whatever. God says, I can take care of it. Do it by my strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. And slowly, I've seen men that are so angry and so bitter. I've seen them, that process of sanctification. They're saved and they hate them when they have those outbursts. And then slowly, all of a sudden, they go, Bill, I'm changing. But it's not me. No, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. By the Spirit, by the power of another, you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the sins of the flesh. You conquer them through the power of another, not in your own strength, loved one. Amen? That's the glorious good news of the gospel. Listen, we're in a war. What does it say in Galatians 5:16? Paul says, I say this. He gives us a command. Walk in the what? He says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That's a command. And then here comes the promise. Walk in the Spirit, the promise, and you will not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't do it. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the power of another. I can do that now. Why? I'm a new man. I'm a new creation in Christ. Let me continue reading from Galatians where it says, for the flesh, that's the old Adam, the old Bill, the throne fallen nature, if you will, for the flesh wars against the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. In other words, one is a dead, one is alive. There's always that continuous war going on till the day that you die. Till the day that you die. You've got to get this into your heart, this word, and believe it. It says they're at war with one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, Paul's not saying we can't have the victory. He's just saying you can't have the victory if you try to do it in your flesh, in your own strength. I mean, we have loved one, we have resurrection power working in our life. And he goes on to say here, you know, about the old man. Of course, listen, here's the problem. The old man, you know, the old man doesn't seem dead. And we're such a touchy-feely people, aren't we? We walk in by senses and all that. The old man, it just doesn't seem dead. And I can tell you that we certainly don't feel dead to sin. We're at a war all the time with that. But this is not about feelings, okay? Boy, that's so important. We don't live by feelings. We live by, the just shall live by faith. Faith. I trust your word, Lord. We do not walk by sight. We don't go by the things we do. We walk by faith through this world, through this life that we live in. I trust your word, Lord. You know I don't want to do this. Maybe some of you are stuck in glory. That means from glory to glory, but you're stuck right here. And you're saying, I'm never going to get, yes, you will. But quit, it's not about you, it's about him. Amen. Quit looking at yourself and look to God. And I know how that is. I mean, you want to please the Lord, you love the Lord, and so you're saying, Lord, I'm doing everything I can. He says, let me do it. I bought you, I paid for you, I died for you. Come on, I can handle it, man. I'm even interceding for you, and my prayers are always answered. I've never lost a case in heaven. I'm your advocate. You go to him. And you say, oh, Lord, I can't quit this. Or maybe men and women, even today, maybe your eyes are messing around with something on the computer you should not be seeing. I hate that word addiction. You say, I'm in trouble, Lord. I don't know how I got in trouble, but I'm in trouble and it's my fault. Help me. I'm telling you, he will help you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. That's what God is trying to tell us. Loved one, listen to me. Don't try to make yourself alive unto God. You are already alive unto God. The process of sanctification is incredible. Where, you see, it's not me trying anymore. It's me obeying, though, but not me trying. It's me just yielding. Saying, okay, Lord, here it is. My old man wants to do that, but I know I'm not going to do it. Help me. Okay, Bill, thank you. And the Bible tells us when we do that, the Bible says the sanctification, that process, it says we are being transformed in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being transformed. That's present tense, ongoing, a process. We are, and the word transformed there is metamorphosis. We're being changed from the inside out. And here we are going through this metamorphosis in our life. And it says you're being changed from glory to glory to glory, not by your strength, not by human merit. It says by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. Loved one, that's how it's done. Sanctification is that ongoing process. I'm still growing up in my life. I haven't grown up yet. I'm still growing up and will continue to grow up forever until I see the Lord. See, sanctification, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in me will complete it, see it through, bring it to fruition. For how long, Lord? Until the very moment of Christ. You mean you're going to work on me that long? You need work. Psalm 138, verse 8, he, God, will perfect those things which concerneth me. Lord, I have a lot of things. I'm very good at perfecting, God says. Give me those things. Give them to me in your life, and I'll change it. You see, we have to ask ourselves, and we have to be honest in this 21st century church today, how much of Adam are we allowing to reign in our life? How much of that old control does the old man really have? You know, it's not right. He's dead, you're alive. You have to reckon that so in your life. It's an ongoing battle and a war that will never, ever cease. That's why it says in verse 14, as we wrap all this up, for sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. It'll not rule over you as Lord. And here's the reason. For you are not under the law, but you're under God's favor, under grace. Sin can no longer be your master because it's not the master of our Lord and we're in our Lord. Amen? Sin has no authority. You need to take that word and this word here and put it into your heart and say, that's a word from God to me. And it is. Sin. Oh no, sin will not have dominion over you. My history, your history with Adam is severed. It is broken. We're out of the Adams family, thank God. Amen? No, listen, the law has no further claim upon the one who is in Christ Jesus because Jesus fulfilled the law for us. A real believer cannot, we can sin. We can get stuck. We can become a prodigal. We can go back and get in the pig pen. It's filthy. We hate it. But we always come to ourselves. If you're a true prodigal. A true believer cannot live an ongoing habitual lifestyle of sin like the world because we're changed. But if you're not a believer, you cannot help but live a life of sin because you are dead in trespasses and sins. You have no spiritual life. You only have physical life. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's only one way. You have to be born from above. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that the grace that we have received has changed our life. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, that they take this message, they take this word, and they start acting upon God's truth. They put it into practice. They stand up to the old man. They stand up to the old Adam. They stand up and say, no, I'm the new man, and I stand in Christ, and I stand in him forever. And I'll not let you reign over me. I'll not let my eyes look at that. And Lord, I thank you if there's anyone here this morning, if Jesus is not the Lord of their life, that when this song is over, Lord, they'll make their way to the altar where they will find people that will love them and pray for them and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you now. We pray again for the women's fellowship tonight. Let it be such a wonderful time, Lord. And we give you thanks for all that you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to really see what we used to be and what we are now and how we can continue to live for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's sing to them.